morning to convene the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors. And I'm going to go to Ms. Angela Davis for flags.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Remain standing, Chaplain.
Would you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we come to you today asking for your guidance and support on behalf of our Board of Supervisors as they begin their meeting. I ask you to grant them several things. Grant them wisdom to govern as they consider the interests and the challenges facing our county. Grant them a clear understanding of the needs of our people and the actions that must be taken to address those needs. Grant them a passion for what is just and right. Grant them the confidence that all in leadership need to pursue the right course. And grant them the ability to work together productively, yet value honest disagreement. In your Son's name we ask these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let me roll call.
Okay. Supervisor Chris.
Present in person.
Supervisor Cobsep.
Here.
Supervisor Haupt.
Here.
Supervisor Ogren.
Present.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
And just to make a note, the board will be convening today as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District and receives no additional compensation.
Thank you. Before I go to public comment, there's been a concern voiced to me about filming in the courtroom and as well as filming of folks who want to do public comment. So I'm going to turn to council and have them address what the law says about that in this meeting.
Yeah, the law requires that we allow that. So I understand some people don't want to be television stars, but nevertheless, we don't have the ability to restrict that.
Thank you. And with editing, even though, you know, they may be on camera here 10 seconds on the news, you probably won't be.
It is a bit of a distraction because he keeps moving around. Would it be possible just to stay in one spot?
Yeah.
And I don't mean, you know, you can move, but
I'll stay on this side.
Wherever it is, you can just kind of keep it to a minimum. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I'm going to move to presentations from the public. It's time slots for information from the public. No action or discussion can be conducted on matters presented at this time. The reason we say that is because they're not agendized. Most people don't understand that. It's not agendized, and we have to agendize everything that we interact with. You'll be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. The chair can extend the time to 5 minutes for appropriate circumstances. Written comments can be presented if so desired by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. And when addressing the board, please state your name for the board prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair, and comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of this board. And I think I'll go to Zoom first. Anyone on Zoom wishing to speak, please raise your hand by pressing star 9.
Caller Dickinson, you may unmute, and it's your turn to speak.
Good morning. Can you hear us?
Is the microphone turned on as well?
Yeah,
the speaker.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Ms. Dickinson, can you hear us?
Go ahead.
I have to think it again.
Go. Thank you.
Good morning.
It's not clicking.
Let's go to the next caller.
Here, can you hear me?
Yeah, we have you now.
Okay. Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for letting me speak this morning. You know, I've always heard people have these like top 10 lists, but I only have a top 4 list. And it begins with the letter S, and I want you to stay the course. I just saw a publication on the Medford Channel 12 News about the drought and the water resources. The Oregon Water Resources employee, Ivan Gall, stated that they basically issued 47 emergency permits to allow for groundwater extraction, and it's made a larger dent in the Klamath Basin water supply. He actually stated this causing of the record amount of groundwater pumping causes the water table in the basin to start to decline. So with that said, I want you to know that the illegal growers that are out in the Shasta Vista area will do anything, yes, anything, to keep growing their marijuana. So I am hoping that you will work on abating the properties and getting this under control. They have a false narrative out there that basically states that they will cheat and steal. They're criminals, okay? So anything they will do to keep going. I saw two water trucks on Highway 97 yesterday. I also saw large purchases of water from Walmart on Sunday. So please, I'm asking you to keep up the fight. I received an email this morning from a woman that she said she has reported numerous times about three large greenhouses right next to her property. Nothing is getting done, that these properties have gone to harvest, which means that these growers are making $300,000 every time they harvest their crop. That is something that Sheriff Lopey said in a YouTube video. So please, stay the course and don't widen the plate, as Coach Scalinci said. We've got to be accountable, and if we're not, then we're going to just fall into a dark abyss. So be accountable and keep up the effort of stopping these grows. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next caller.
Caller ending in 3379, you may unmute, it's your turn to speak.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
I don't know whether this is the appropriate time to address this or whether I need to wait till it comes up later on the agenda. I want to speak to items 10A and 10B regarding the ordinances on the water trucks and the extraction of groundwater.
I'll ask for public comment during those hearings, which is probably more appropriate if you have specifics.
Okay, I'll wait till then.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Seeing none online, I'm going to move to the comment cards that I have in-house here. And I have to apologize up front if I butcher your name. I'm sorry. Especially the first one, I can't hardly read it, but I believe the first name is Fong, and it's X-I-O-N-G is the last name. Could you come to the microphone and do your public comment, please?
My name is Hong Zong, and I live in this community. We are power maker. My family sacrificed blood for this country. Many of my family stayed in the military during the war, the Vietnam War, and many of them were injured and killed and served. We fought the community side by side with America. No group sacrificed more than the more we all respect to sanctify and our institute and their fight for democracy. It's our fight for justice. Address the war. I'm sorry, my English is not that well, so English is my second language. Address the war, and as a refugee, my family is sparing races, and we are sparing races here today. We have been described as a cartel by a police officer, which created a hostile environment, and an environment of hate and no peace. We are not being treated fairly by the county of Siskiyou and this water restriction and other policy are being used to haunt us and our community and our American community. Why in the Asian American community and the only community that is being impacted by this water ordinance? And that is not right. We are experienced and drunk together. If we say we use too much water, the Asian community used about 300,000 gallons of water per day, while the Caucasian farmer used over 1 million gallons of water per day for one farmer. Why do you punish us when we are a small part of Siskiyou?
Thank you for your comment. Thank you, family, for their sacrifice. Next speaker I have is Mr. Vang. Mr. Vang.
Is it J-A-E-A?
I'm sorry, yes it does. I assumed. See? Ms. Vang.
That's okay. My name is Jatia Vang. Why do you limit our ability to defend and protect our land and property? When you illegally seized our water trucks, you made it impossible for us to defend our homes and families. Why didn't deputies go through the court to get a proper search order? Why do you treat us like second-class citizens? When your agents shot and took Mr. Hurst's dog, why didn't they tell the family how to get Silk back, and they still haven't? I will ask right now, where is Silk? Is he still alive or dead? It's been over 1 month. Why won't anyone tell us? These are basic American rights that you are taking from us. We want to be treated like American citizens because that's who we are. We fought hard for this country. Raise your hand if you lost one family member in a U.S. war. Raise your hand if you lost five. Raise your hand if you lost 10. We want the 100-gallon water ordinance to be rescinded, our seized water trucks returned, and no more unreasonable limitations be placed on our community's access to water or any other essential human needs. Denying American citizens the water we need to sustain life represents a gross violation of the Eighth Amendment, which protects American citizens from cruel and unusual punishment. We want all charges against the men and women who were unconstitutionally arrested for trying to return to their homes to be dropped immediately. Arresting these American citizens under California Penal Code 409.5 for trying to return into the evacuation zone to protect their homes represents a violation of the constitutional right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. We want to know why emergency services did not respond to the lava fire in our community, and why were we not allowed to bring in water trucks in an emergency, which is a violation of our constitutional right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. All we want is justice. We want to be treated the same as anyone else by the sheriff, coroner, by this board, by the court. We all deserve the same treatment under the law. This is what we have fought for decades. We don't feel safe in this community. We fear that our kids will get treated differently because of the color of their skin. We fear for our life because of the hostile environment created by the Siskiyou County government. Thank you, board. Please bring justice and fairness to our community. We do not deserve to be singled out and harmed. We are Americans.
Thank you. Next speaker card I have is Veronica Lucido.
Well, I've never been to one of these before, and I don't know if this is even a topic, because you were saying something about the comments should reflect what's on the agenda. Is that what you said earlier?
What I said was that we can't engage you in comment unless it's on the agenda.
I can say whatever I want to say?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, because it's a free country, well, so that's fine.
Still democracy.
Well, I will say then, I totally appreciate the prayer in the beginning that I'm proud to live here in Siskiyou County, that we have the freedom to bring whatever we want and say whatever we want. So just like the young lady referred to being maybe feeling, didn't want to be, what is the word she used, about the color of her skin, and, discriminated against. And so for us, we were here representing, we don't want to be discriminated because we don't want to take an experimental drug at this point in time. It's coming down the pike for the hospital and state workers. And, for us here in Siskiyou County, we're privileged to live in such a place that I would want to say that we're different from the whole of California. And, I work for the school district, and our kids are having to wear masks, and which inhibits their breathing and their... so much of what is going on today is affecting our children, and I guess that's just why I'm here, just to say that I hope that we can, I don't know what kind of authority the board has, but I guess it's the state of Jefferson all the way.
Because you asked, the board has absolutely zero discretion over the governor's emergency orders. But we hear you. I'd be out there with you. Mr. Dean Harris.
Thank you. My name's Dean Harris. I'm from Weed, and I'm talking about vaccinations, illegal vaccinations. And I'd like to bring up certain laws, and I'm going to give you a copy of this. The wearing of masks and forced vaccines, which have been proven to harm. I didn't get the doctor's name, sorry, but I forgot to get the doctor's name. This information is for each of us not to just think about, but act on for health and our safety, because you cannot trust government agencies. The officials, government type, those not even voted in, are certain so-called health experts in health departments and public schools, pushing masks on children and so-called vaccines that are not approved by the FDA and are not considered vaccines. To be proven, children do not get the COVID, and wearing masks has shown children acquiring brain damage. Sorry, I didn't get the damage in there. It's more government control. It has nothing to do with them caring for our health or our children. If you care about your children and our health, realize that those pushing these called measures are violating constitution laws that are protecting people and their rights. Your Bill of Rights, your children's relatives and friends, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, but not only government, but by social media and those who are ignorant about what the real truth is, search and seizure. Nuremberg Codes, Helsinki Accord, Geneva Convention, 45 U.S.C. of Regulations, Statute 46, Cosmetic Act 21 U.S.C., and there's a bunch of numbers, which states you must be given an option to be provided with either exemption, alternative like hydrochloroquine or ivermectin, and that wasn't ever pushed by Fauci or the UN or whatever that NICH is. And I had it, and I had hydrochloroquine, and I got out of it in 4 days. So it works. So it's private heater exemption. Informed consent, Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act, Patriot Act, Section Number 802, and then 18 U.S.C. Statute 175, 15 U.S.C. Section 53, U.S. Defense Department War Manual, California Code 273, California Penal Code, Subsection D, Child Endangerment, Child Abuse Penal Code 203, also 664, Attempted Endangerment, Criminal Tort, Assault and Battery, Do You Like Freedom? And I listened to a woman who was in concentration camps at a very young age. Her name is Vera Schwabra, Nazi Germany. And she says, what's going on now is the same thing that was happening in Nazi Germany. And I'm part Jew, And when I see these masks, I don't see the difference anymore in a mask or a yellow star, because that's what they're forcing us to do. In Romans chapter 13, it talks about they're also pushing this thing about if you don't have a card for vaccination. Now, I get a VA, I belong to the VA, and they go to all that medical stuff, and they're going to try to force me to get a vaccination. Well, I can't take a vaccination. I'm not going to, because it's my freedom. I guess my time is up.
Yeah, you can summarize if you'd like. Give me 30 seconds.
I'd just like to say these vaccinations are totally against our Constitution. So I'd like to have a copy. I want this copy.
I can take it here.
Give it to the clerk, please.
I'll get it to them. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you.
And I'm here basically representing healthcare workers and state workers that are affected by the recent order from Gavin Newsom, where we have to get twice weekly COVID tests or we have to get the vaccine in order to keep our jobs. Basically, we feel that this violates the Nuremberg Code, meaning that we deserve informed consent when we when we're going to have a medical procedure done to us. We deserve to know the risks and benefits and decide that whether or not to get it done with our doctor. We feel that this violates our rights for informed consent. Based on like the vaccination, there's no liability if we get injured by that vaccine. There's no liability for anybody if we get injured for that. We can't file a workman's comp claim. There's nothing that we can do to basically deal with the repercussions of that. The nasal swab for the COVID test that they're trying to require two times a week, that has EO on it, which is ethylene oxide, which is a known cancer-causing agent. According to the EPA, there's no safe level of exposure to that. And we're talking about putting that way up by your cribriform plate, which is very fragile, and it leads directly to the central nervous system. So that's very risky, and they never even tell you the risks of that procedure. So I'm worried I'm going to have to look for another job because I'm not willing to do that EO, the swab in my nose. I'm not willing to get the vaccine. I have multiple reasons. I have philosophical, medical, and religious reasons to not want this. And basically, our group is against mandates. We all have different opinions about medical procedures. We have different opinions about vaccines, but we're just against mandates. And I understand you did mention that you don't have a jurisdiction over that, but my question is, what are the counties supposed to do? What are the people supposed to do? I mean, you're our constituents, you fight for us, we voted for you, and so what are we supposed to do? We need to be able to have that right to informed consent. That's a basic human right. So we're just fighting for that, that's what we're here for. And it was kind of a last minute thing, so we're not as organized as we'd like to be. But we will continue these protests if we have to. We would appreciate it if you could maybe do something, maybe even just delay it until the recall of Newsom. Because we know someone else is going to get in there. And we're the state of Jefferson. We started the whole state of Jefferson movement. We are strong here. We stand up for our rights. And I just really hope that you can stand up for our rights as well. That maybe you can do something. That you can maybe, talk to the governor about it or something. I don't know what's in your jurisdiction. But please, I just beg you to do something so that we can keep our informed consent, because there's a lot of nurses and doctors that have spent years and thousands of dollars to get to where they are, and now people are just saying, oh, just get a different job. You know, that risk is there. So anyway, I'm just saying, this violates informed consent. We deserve
time.
Consent. Thank you.
For you. Do you know if you're tested twice weekly where that DNA goes? Does it go to your doctor? Or do you
I
know
have
anything
no
about
idea.
That?
No idea.
You might look into that because that's been a question I've been asking all along and nobody seems to have an answer.
And the other thing too is the vaccine can still you can still spread COVID even if you have been vaccinated. Yeah. So that doesn't help the spread necessarily. So yeah.
Thank you. Jenny Fisher.
Hi, I'm Jenny Fisher. I'm an RN in Siskiyou County, and I'm here with the group against the mandates. coming down, whether it's the vaccines or the testing or whatever else they want to require. It's just very concerning for a lot of us healthcare workers, what they're trying to require, flu vaccine, COVID vaccine testing. I've talked to a lot of different healthcare workers in the hospital, not just nurses, that are willing to be fired if they don't comply with these requirements or quit their jobs. And these were already very bare bones in the hospitals throughout the United States, but in our county, very bare bones. And for all these people to potentially not be there anymore. I brought this up last year at the Board of Supervisors meeting when we talked about the flu flu shot requirement. And I know you guys are for us, and I really appreciate what you do. And I know that you don't have necessarily say on this, but that you can talk to public health, that you can use your authority, use your position to help us in whatever way that is. If you guys can come up and try to help us figure this out, because it's scary to think of that there's may no longer be services at the hospital because there's not people there to work in various departments, or there may not be a hospital if so many people leave and they can't even get people to come and work. That's what we're looking at, and it's very concerning, and I just pray that you can help us in this fight. Thank you.
Thank you. Before I go back online, I'm going to...
Wait a minute. I have one. I changed my mind.
Yeah, we'll bring it up here.
Can I do it?
Yeah. I'm going to make my own public comment. At this point, I guess I'm entitled to do one. What I'd like to say is that I read the five-page order that came out last week. And personally, I'm appalled at what the government's attempting to do. I have four members of my immediate family in the healthcare profession, and they're all facing termination of employment. I don't know what to say with that, because the other option there, just so the board doesn't know, in investigating that, if you are terminated for choosing one of the other options other than being vaccinated, you're not entitled to unemployment insurance either in the state. So I don't understand it. I'm appalled, and it's an egregious foray into your personal liberties. I don't know what I can do as a board member right now, but I will tell you that I'm aggressively pursuing anything I can personally to effect some kind of reasonable change in this.
Thank you. You just stole my thunder. My name is Louise Boyano.
That's the privilege of the chair.
Yeah. And I live in Wairika, and I'm a retired RN. And I was out this morning with this group doing a protest in front of the public health department. And I totally support them. And I think it is wrong. I think it is medical tyranny to require people to get something that they don't want or they're afraid of. It should be a medical, personal decision. And I was wondering, you mentioned you're doing everything you can, and my thought came to my mind is, and I know that resolutions aren't a law, but would it be a possibility that if the board agrees to it, to do a resolution saying that Siskiyou County objects to this medical tyranny, do a resolution also, maybe the board could also then send a letter to the governor, and also send a letter to our representatives, the Dalleys, Assemblywoman Megan Dalley and Brian Dalley. They should be fighting for us. I want you to know that Kevin Kiley has, I don't remember the bill number, but he's authored a bill to prevent mandatory vaccine, and our Congressman Doug LaMalfa has authored two bills in the federal government to against mandatory vaccines for people getting on planes and people in workplaces. We just lost a friend, Mike Twilliger, who was a bush pilot in Alaska, who had to pick between earning a living for his family or getting the vaccine and risking his life, and Mike died after the second COVID vaccine. So I don't think anyone should ever be put in that position. So whatever you can do, we really, the citizens of Wairika, would really appreciate it. And I want you to know that we really appreciate all that the board has done. You guys have been awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a few callers online. We're going to go to you at this time.
Good morning. I'm Kendra Cevedo in Big Spring.
Good morning.
Good morning. First of all, I'd like to extend our prayers for all the brave firefighters and for their safety and those affected by the fire. Next, I would like to thank all the personnel of this county who have worked diligently to curtail the exploitation of the resources for unlawful purposes. We within the community recognize every single county employee, and especially the Board of Supervisors, who under extreme pressure to bend to the drums of the mob, have stood ground against lawlessness. We believe you are all warriors for what America truly believes in, that law matters. Lastly, I would like to let those who came here with intentions of violating the law, you came to the wrong county. There's a new sheriff in town, and we don't think he likes criminals. And let you know, we don't either. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, next caller.
Vicki Gold, you may unmute. It's your turn to speak.
Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I would like to concur to address the same topic that Lori and Louise and others have addressed with regard to the medical tyranny. I think Louise's suggestions were extremely on point. We have to do something. This is the first time I've ever experienced anything like this with this biosecurity state. I've been in the medical field for 50 years. I know the difference between a vaccine and what they are inoculating people with. Notice that in the news the last week, we have seen that in the countries where there is the highest level of inoculation, in England, in Israel, in Chile, they are having highest rates of hospitalization and illness from this inoculation. So it is not a vaccine. And we have to get beyond discussing it as a vaccine. If you could please take an interest in this and at least try, I think the suggestion to wait until the recall is a good one, but I think you should not wait until then. The letter has to go out now saying that we object. The questions that the people who are being forced, the nurses and the staff members, to have this substance, which is, of course, a proprietary substance, these are the questions they should be asking. Can you please advise me of the approved legal status of any vaccine and if it is experimental? Can you please provide details and assurances that the vaccine has been fully independently, rigorously tested against control groups and the subsequent outcomes of those tests? Can you please advise of the full list of contents of the vaccine I am to receive and if any are toxic to the body? Can you please fully advise of all the adverse reactions associated with this vaccine since its introduction? Can you please confirm the vaccine you are advocating is not experimental mRNA gene-altering therapy? Can you please confirm that I will not be under any duress from yourselves as my employers in compliance with the Nuremberg Code? Can you please advise me of the likely risk of fatality should I be unfortunate to contract COVID-19 and the likelihood of recovery? Once I have received the above information in full and I am satisfied that there is no threat to my health, I will be happy to accept your offer to receive the treatment with certain conditions: that you confirm that I will suffer no harm following acceptance of this, the offer should be signed by a fully qualified doctor who may take full legal and financial responsibility for any injuries occurring to myself and or from any interactions by authorized personnel regarding his procedures. Three, in the event that I should have to decline the offer of so-called vaccination, please confirm that it will not compromise my position and that I will not suffer prejudice and discrimination as a result. And these are inalienable rights. They cannot provide that information, and the person has not refused the vaccine. You, and I don't want to call it a vaccine, it's an inoculation of an unknown substance. Please take an action and stop the public health department from enforcing this egregious, completely dangerous policy that has been mandated by people who have changed their minds daily, hourly, on what the protocol is. This is devastating our children. It's devastating the hospital and nursing personnel and doctors whose lives are threatened. I thank you for listening.
Thank you. We're going to go to the next caller.
Reed, you may unmute. It is your turn to speak.
Okay, thank you. Is this the right time to talk about the short-term rental moratorium?
You may do so, or during the public hearing.
Is that today?
Yes.
Okay, I'll just leave a quick comment. We have just purchased a property in Siskiyou County and have really dumped like tons and tons of our savings and our life into this, and have put about $40,000 or $50,000. Into Siskiyou County with hiring local workers and buying stuff at all the local stores to fix up this rental. And we're just afraid that if this moratorium goes through, we will have to sell it because we can't afford to have this property without the income. And we're not sure how that would work. I know there are other people in our position as well. And so we're just asking you guys to reconsider this, or at least give maybe like a year notice so that people who are in the middle of buying, or people who have just bought and have spent all their money renovating, don't end up, you know, I mean, we purchased all new furniture, all new everything for this house, and if we're not able to rent it out, we can't do anything with that stuff except sell it at a yard sale. So just asking you guys that it's people like me that this affects who have put their life savings on the line, and then just to have it say, hey, you're not able to rent it out. It's a tough thing for families like ours. So we have three little kids, and you know, just wanted to put that out there for you guys to consider. So thank you.
Reed, this is the clerk. Can I get your last name, please?
Sure, it's Powell, P-O-W-E-L-L.
Thank you.
And we have started the process, but we're not sure that we'll be able to complete it. You know, we've paid for the inspections, we've done all that, but we're not sure that we'll be able to complete it in time. And I just feel that there are a lot of others. I just wanted to know, this is the kind of people who it affects, is people who are trying to help improve existing houses in the county. I mean, we flipped a dump of the house and made it really great using local workers, and so to think that it might be taken away is just a hard thing, so thank you.
Could I ask where he's from? Where are these talking about?
Yeah, could you state where you're, which town you live in?
Oh, we live over in, by the coast, in Crescent City.
Where's your property?
At this time, I just would rather just let you know this is kind of who it affects, so.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next caller.
Caller ending in 4565, you may unmute. It's your turn to speak. Caller ending.
Am I on? This is Barbara Rodriguez.
Yes, you're on. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much to all of you supervisors and for the work that you're doing. It is very apparent that you guys are under quite a bit of pressure with many different issues going on. So I just want to thank you for doing what you're doing. Just a brief two topics. The water situation, please continue to hold the line. Please fight for the water rights for our entire county. As you guys know, there's a serious situation going on. I just support what you're doing. Second topic, this has to do with the mandatory vaccinations and mandatory testing. Governor Newsom, you know, mandated yesterday. Again, I just simply want to reiterate that it's an experimental drug, that the vaccinations are not FDA approved. There have been many, many, many deaths, maybe 25,000 or more. And in other situations, in vaccination rounds, if 25 people died, they stopped the whole program. They stopped the whole program. So the fact that they're not stopping this is suspicious, questionable. Also, the CDC has said the vaccines are failing. That's their own statement. The vaccines are failing from the CDC. The other thing that's going on here is the medical tyranny that is coming to our country, where there's mandated medical action. The people are supposed to have a permission to give consent, informed consent. And also the lady before me that mentioned that these are inoculations, that it's not a vaccine. There's an indication that they're actually injecting poison into the people and that that is their objective. So I just want to thank you all very much, and I encourage you supervisors that although it appears that the whole world is going like crazy, you guys have a chance here to hold the line locally and protect our local people. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Next caller.
Caller 4565, it's your turn to speak.
Good morning. Can the caller hear me?
Caller at 0599, you may unmute, it's your turn to speak.
Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, my name is Charlene Watkins. I'm a Big Springs resident, a permanent Big Springs resident. And I just want to thank the Board of Supervisors and the Sheriff's Department and all people that are involved with this crisis that we have out here with the illegal marijuana grows. I find it interesting that the first thing that was being protested was that we're Asian racist. That's so untrue, because we have many races in this county that are working here and permanently live here that obey the laws. The next thing that is being pulled is the veteran card. We have many veterans here that are, most of them are retired, that follow the laws, and they've also run out of water and are not protesting. They're going through the right avenues to get their water, the permits, and having it delivered. The next thing, that the other card that is pulled, is humanitarian card. I'm trying to figure out where that's coming from when you have criminal activity and illegal pot grows in this county. That is just ridiculous. The other thing that is happening is that there is a influx of vehicles, very expensive vehicles, that these poor farmers are driving, that have licenses that are out of state and are not being properly switched over to California. So the county, the state, are being cheated out of these fees, these funds and fees. Thank you very much for listening to me. I appreciate all you do.
Thank you. We're going to go to the next caller.
Caller 4565, would you like to unmute? It's your turn to speak. Tara Coughlin, if you'd like to unmute, it is your turn to speak.
Oh, hi. I'm concerned about the county's adoption of urgency ordinances related to water truck travel and their discriminatory impacts upon the Asian American community in the county. These ordinances are limiting access to an essential resource necessary for survival and are exacerbating issues of racialized policing. I'm asking that the county immediately rescind the water truck ordinances and related regulations and prohibit the county sheriff's department from enforcement of the water truck ordinances and related regulations. Two, stop the discriminatory treatment of Asian residents and ensure equitable access to water, fire services, and evacuation. And three, make whole any residents who have already been harmed by these ordinances. Thank you.
Thank you. Next caller.
Caller 4565, this is your last opportunity to speak during this part of the meeting. If you'd like to unmute, it's your turn to speak.
Is it star 6 on the phone?
Star 9.
Star 9 on the phone? Okay.
Check. We can't connect. We'll move on. Seeing no other comment in the room, I'm going to move to consent agenda. I'd like to pull item 5A for discussion. Other wishes of the board?
I'll move for the ballots.
Second.
A motion in the second for B through S9.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Obrin?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe?
Aye. So I don't know, is there anyone here from the Department of Agriculture? No. I don't really have a question with the actual agreement itself, but in the execution of it. Just Smith to provide some specifics. What my concern is that years ago, I know the county stopped treating road rights of ways that went through Forest Service property, in particular the Greenhorn Road and Scott River Road. What concerns me is that the right-of-way is owned by the county, should be treated regardless of the land base that it passes through. In regard to noxious weeds, 15 years ago, because of that policy that somehow got established in the county, it threatened the quarantining of products in Scott Valley. And I'd just like to know whether or not that's still in place and what we can do to remedy it.
Angela Davis, County Administrator, I will make a phone call to the Agricultural Commissioner, Sealer of Weights and Measures, to make that clarification for you and report back to the board.
I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Now, with that, I'll move to approve A.
Second.
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Obrin?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Thank you.
Next item.
Chair.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm looking to see if we can provide direction. This supervisor would entertain the idea of a letter to the governor with regard to the mandates. The borders are open in the southern part of the United States and there's no mandates required there, obviously it would be something that would get the attention of residents in the U.S. If the same department was there. But I think that the county should play a role in pushing back a bit on the governor's mandates. jobs will be lost. It should be voluntary. And as if we learned, I think about this time last year, is what was brought up with the mandates that the county tried to put on from what the governor did with the vaccine. There's always been an exemption. And because that vehicle isn't in this, I'm concerned about that as well. So I certainly would entertain a letter on next week's agenda with regard to pushing back a bit on these mandates, because I truly, they are unconstitutional, and it's in the idea, even though it's an emergency per se. There's reports coming out today that a lot of the spike of what's going on now, even with the Delta variant, is from spoiled vaccine. So there's a lot out there that I think that we need to at least make provide attention to the governor's office with regard to our concern with the mandate overall. And I'm one supervisor, but that would be my...
I would definitely join you in that support however way we can. I know one of the things last year that did come up, the difference was that we were faced with a local health officer's order, which we had some discretion over. This is a governor's mandate at this point. But the governor needs to hear, I believe, from us as well, from the standpoint that you can't, I mean, who are we? Are we free citizens or not? You can't mandate that you inject something into my person without either my consent or conferring with my doctor, or at least give us some exemptions to that. I will tell you that one of the local healthcare facilities did offer an exemption, but it's, you know, I wonder how long that's going to last. I have another, my sister-in-law works for a major hospital in Dallas.
Through the chair.
Yeah.
I'm just, as you know, this hasn't been agendized. I think it'd be best if we're going to agendize it, we can have an elongated conversation about it once it's been agendized. I'm just concerned about that.
Okay. Practicing my free speech.
And if I may make a very brief comment on the same
topic. Public comment, if you'd like.
Thank you.
State your name, please.
Jonathan Dixon of Wairika. Okay. I have faith in the intelligence and cleverness of each of you that you can find a way that we can meet the requirements on paper. So very much it appears we're in line, but we're looking at definitions. We're looking at how words have more than one meaning. So we can go along with whatever we have to and still be safe, still be sane.
Thank you.
Jonathan, can I get the spelling of your last name?
Oh, sure. Dixon, D-I-X-O-N.
X-O-N, thank you.
Okay. All right, Council, I'll save the rest of my public comment for next week. All right, moving to item 6, public request, Siskiyou Opioid Safety Coalition. Good morning.
Good morning, supervisors. Thank you for making time for us on the agenda today, which I see is very busy and full. I'm Danelle Minock, the facilitator of the Siskiyou Opioid Safety Coalition, and this is Jean Sams. She is the program manager for the coalition. And I want to say first off, this is the same coalition as the SARA coalition that was founded in fall of 16. We just changed the name. So SARA was Siskiyou. Wendy?
Did you give us your name?
I just launched it.
I was just making notes.
Oh, I did. But Danelle Minock.
Thank you.
And Jean Sams.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry. I was going to set my timer for 10 minutes and I missed that. So. I know Wendy will help me stay.
How's that mine?
Okay. So the name was originally SARA, which was Siskiyou Against RX Abuse or Prescription Drug Abuse. And about a year ago, we changed it to Siskiyou Opioid Safety Coalition just to be more inclusive of other than prescription drugs, and also we're part of the network in the state of Opioid Safety Coalition, so just to put our name a little bit more in alignment. But it's the same coalition. And I know you all received an electronic copy of my presentation, which I'm just gonna skim over some of the points of it real quickly. And then hard copies also. So our coalition has about 100 members, and we've got a representation from the county, from the hospitals, from clinics, law enforcement, the tribes, individuals and community members. It's a great, strong coalition that I'm really pleased to be working with. We have five staff, which, well, that sounds like a lot, but our total FTE is like 0.6, and that's not like per person, that's all five of us. But we're mighty, and we are able to get a lot done. There's some statistics in the beginning of my presentation showing that overdoses related to opioid overdoses have increased in Americans under age 50. These are from the National Vital Statistics. There's also a statistic that shows that overdoses due to opioid deaths are up 40% in California, also from that National Vital Statistic. And then there's three that are more local, and I know they're all a little outdated. This was brought to my attention, and we are aware of that. The local statistics are through 17, and they show an increase in medically assisted treatment and Suboxone use in our county, and a decrease in prescribing of opioid prescriptions and the strength of those, and those trends have continued through 2019. And I know with the data, like I looked on the CDC site today, and they only have through 2019 the California Opioid Overdose Surveillance Dashboard, which is sort of the, has the California stuff, also only has through 2019. And I think part of this is just the data tends to lack, but it's probably related to COVID as well. And one of the things we've done recently is we formed a data subcommittee that just met for the first time in June. And some of the focuses that we're going to look at is collecting local data, and at least some of the metrics, trying to have them in real time so it's more useful and up to date, and then putting it in formats that are usable. And then we can post them on our website, and folks can use them for grant writing or whatever people might need them for. Members or the public can look at them there. Some of our focus areas, you know, we're just trying to get word out that substance use disorder is a chronic disease, and try and decrease stigma, and also harm reduction is a big focus. And I know public health has been doing a lot of great work in that area. With the mobile van. And if you have any questions beyond this, please look at our website. We have a really great comprehensive website at www.siskiyoopioidsafety.org, and it's got tons of information about all these topics. And it's geared toward people who use opioids that are looking for treatment, towards the general public, towards family members of those folks. Providers can get information. So we're kind of proud of it. It was our COVID project over the summer and fall, and it went up in November of 2020, and the first full month, I think, was December. And we've been getting more and more people using it, and we're trying to do things. We have it connected with our Facebook and trying to just get the word out there. We'll be at the Siskiyou Golden Fair. We're partnering with Behavioral Health and in a booth, and we will be distributing naloxone, which is the drug that can reverse an opioid overdose. Those will be free kits, and we'll have resource information, some information to point people towards our website. We also recently, since I have a little more time, we just did a training with six of the community resource centers in Siskiyou County, the six that are in the collaborative, and they now will be able to provide naloxone for people for free if people come in. So many people go to the resource centers and utilize them for so many things, so it's just another thing that they will be able to have. And then I don't know where I'm at on my time, but we also have a proclamation that I'm hoping one of you might read, that is just to acknowledge that August 31st is International Opioid Awareness Day. Here is a copy of it, and I'm not sure.
I'm looking for a copy. There it is.
Okay.
I'm Supervisor Chris Reed.
Oh. Right. The least we can do.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Resolution of the County of Siskiyou, Board of Supervisors, recognizing August 31st, 2021 as International Overdose Awareness Day. Whereas the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors does affirm and acknowledge that harm and hardship caused by drug overdose, and whereas we recognize the purpose of International Overdose Awareness Day as remembering loved ones lost to overdose and ending the stigma of drug-related deaths, and whereas we resolve to play our part in reducing the toll of overdose in our community, which claimed the lives of more than 3,244 in the state of California residents in 2019, together with countless more affected forever, and whereas we affirm that the people affected by overdose are our sons and daughters, our mothers and fathers, our brothers and sisters, and deserving of our love, compassion, and support. Therefore, we, the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors, do hereby proclaim August 31st, 2021 as Overdose Awareness Day in the County of Siskiyou. Now, therefore, be it resolved, we, the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors, do hereby proclaim August 31st, 2021 as International Overdose Awareness Day. And I can tell you what the vote will be, but be unanimous. That's all.
Thank you. And are there any questions for us?
Questions?
Yeah, just some comments.
Sure.
There you go. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I respond on the volunteer on the ambulance crew, their mute ballot. So when you said it impacts not just that person, but when you're looking at the family members, the impacts does multiply. Absolutely incredible. You also brought up the stigma part for it. I've said a story about mental health. That Chief Justice William Rehnquist, who was the Supreme Court Chief Justice, did have an addiction to pain medication there for a while. They sent him into a psychotic breakdown. He went on to become, continue to be Supreme Court Justice, and then the Chief Justice afterwards functioned very well. So I think we do need to get past the stigma that some people can recover from. We shouldn't hold people down based on that, but try to help them and support them the way up.
Yes, it can be anybody.
It can be.
Yeah.
With that, I think we need a motion.
I'll make the recommended motion.
Second.
A motion and a second. Wendy, roll call.
Supervisor Chris.
I'll be in the light.
Supervisor Cobso.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Oh, for sure.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
And just a point of order here before we continue. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I've seen great results with law enforcement using the remedies to save people's lives in this county, and that wasn't the case 7 years ago when I stepped onto this board. So, thank you.
Yeah, there's been a lot of progress, and a lot of people have worked really hard on it. Yeah, thank you.
Right. So, if I could just add a quick comment, I know that I listened to Pat Police or a scanner, and I've just seen a really uptick on overdosing. On the calls, as you know, most of the fire calls are medical calls. And then the other piece that we'll probably be dealing with at some point, there's a settlement on the opioid litigation, so we'll see how that plays out. Hopefully we can think about how we would allocate some resources to the ongoing, this will be ongoing. And then the final piece to it is that although this is throughout the country, if you will, throughout the state of California, probably hits the rural counties. And I think because there's an isolation factor there, and I think one of the pieces that I read in there is because of the shutdown, it was even harder to get access to treatment and those kind of things.
Yes, and then people being alone at home in isolation and using, so there's no one there to save them. Yeah. Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you all.
Thank you.
Okay, Wendy, or?
We could take a quick break, it'd be great.
Okay. We're going to reset for 5 minutes.